Title of the message tonight is going to be Anthropology 101. I'm no college professor, but we're going to look in the scripture and see what the scripture has to say. We're going to teach out of the scripture. And just a side note, I said it this morning, I don't come to you from a place of a high tower, a glass house, a place of position or privilege. I'm just like you. Yeah, I got a recent haircut, I got a suit on, but I'm just like you. I struggle. I have my doubts. I have my questions. I find myself more than I would like to admit, just wondering sometimes, am I shooting the right way? Am I biting off more than I should be? Am I biting off less than I should be? Et cetera, et cetera. I think you get the idea. So I don't come here as some theologian, some Bible man, or what have you. And tonight, my only intent, my only goal is to help you. Not with my little things that I know here and there, no. But from the scripture. I want to help. I want to expose the scripture to you. I want to send it to you. Send it to your heart. God sending it to your heart, the Holy Spirit. And from the scripture, we make application. And we build our lives. I know it's hard sometimes, but we wonder why sometimes things are the way they are. How much are we in the scripture? How close are we really to God? I just, with myself, sometimes, I'm rocking and rolling, but I'm really not. I'm fooling myself. I think I'm closer than I actually am. I have more time than I actually think I don't. And it's excuse after excuse. But we can be as close to God as we want to be. And I want to help us realize that. And I want to, with every bit of God's grace, every bit of God's help, I want to take it down to what should be a foundational base level. And ask that question, what is man? Who am I? Who am I according to what God says? Not who am I according to what my neighbor says, according to what the world says, according to what a college professor says. I said I wasn't one, so I'm clear on that one. What does God say? Who does God say that I am as an individual? Do I have worth? Do I have value? Do I matter? These are pressing questions of the day. They always have been. But with social media and just on 24/7, 365, it's more in our face than ever. Who am I? Who are you? And I pray and I hope that we could grab something from the scripture. There's a lot. I'm going to try to keep it summarize, succinct, straight to the point. But I also, with that, my goal, my intent is to whet your appetite and to motivate you to keep on looking. And all throughout the scripture, you'll see that God wants to get your attention. God has a lot to say about who we are, who he is, and how that all connects. So I want to help you tonight. Job chapter 7, verse 17. We'll start with this verse and then we'll pray. This isn't the only place in scripture that this is said. Job's in the middle of things. He doesn't even know what's going on. And this is what the Bible tells us. Job 7, 17. And the Bible says, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? I don't know if we think like that, that God, in his heart, in his love, in his being, just like it says right here, he wants to set his heart upon us. I mean, how many family members do you have like that? How many friends do you have like that that will talk to you like that? I read it again. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? God wants to give us a lot of attention. In all the disruption, the distortion in our sin, Satan, a lot of it gets lost in translation. But it doesn't have to stay like that. Salvation, this isn't going to make sense if you're not saved tonight. You have to stop trusting yourself. You have to stop trusting false doctrine. You have to stop trusting what the internet says. And you have to trust Christ, who's behind everything and has created everything. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to break through the noise, through the distractions. I don't think it happens anymore with digital TV, but what was it, white noise? with the old one, the TV. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You hear the distortion, the pictures kind of coming in. That's what life is without Christ. And then that's what life is with a poor fellowship with Christ. Distortion, if things aren't clear, the image is there, it's not there. God wants to bring clarity to our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for another night, another day in your house. I pray, Lord, we make the most of this time. We commit this time to you. We open our hearts, we open our minds, not to random things, but to your things, to your truth, your way. We thank you for that cross that has reconciled us to you, has made redemption, has made a way that we're no longer separated from you because of our sin. That we can hear your voice. We can walk in the Spirit. We know where we can dig and put our next step. I pray you help us tonight. I know everyone comes in here with different ideas and different standards and different issues and different dilemmas. I understand that. We each have our own problems. But regardless of that, I pray we could put that to the side and that you would help us to navigate the problems, to have discernment, to use wisdom, to be under your grace. Help us to connect to you that much more this week as we head back into this world. I pray the message is clear. I pray, Holy Spirit, you fill me afresh, that I would say nothing more and nothing less than what you intend. I just want to help people. I just want to minister. Pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, where it all started, Genesis, the book of beginnings. We're going to camp out here and highlight several things about who we are, about true anthropology, not what the college professor says. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to stay here. We'll see a lot of verses. Genesis. And we'll look at three things tonight. We're going to look at man's creation, man's core, and man's conclusion. His creation, his core, his conclusion. And that's what it is in a nutshell. We're born, we're going to live, and then we're going to die. Last I checked, 10 out of 10 people die. Nobody's getting out alive. And that's not, I know Joe, I did say that kind of joking, but with that in mind, what are we doing? What are we doing now before we die? Because we're going to die. But the world, the devil, and our own flesh are in the business of identifying who we are. And it seems that pressure is building, is it not? God created something more like himself than all the rest of creation. Think about that. God created something more like himself than all the rest of creation. Who's that? Us. I'm looking at his creation. Think about that. It should cause us to stop and think about our value, our significance, as we notice the excellence of the rest of creation. I mean, I'm sure between this room, we've been all around the world and gotten to see very beautiful things. If that's how that is, how much more us? And what the intended purpose is, and what God's will is for the believer and for the unbeliever to become a believer. As the crown of his creation, we are the work of his wise and skillful hands. We're going to see that. This is on purpose. This isn't some fly-by-night thing. Don't let the world fool you. Don't let friends fool you. Don't let family fool you. We have it all here. And this is foundational. Sin has greatly distorted that likeness, but humanity still holds a degree of God's image. Sin messed us up, but God in that made a way. He didn't say, oh, I'm done. You take the whole account. He's after redemption. He's after reconciliation, relationship, fellowship. Christ forgives sin through faith, not works, not some off-the-wall cult, not my own personal ideas, my experiences, my feelings, definitely not my feelings and my emotions. Nothing's happening from there. But Christ, he forgives sin through faith, desiring to work with believers to restore what sin has distorted. He's in the restoration business. You know, I appreciate, I'm not a car person, but I appreciate when you see a 1960s American muscle car, a 1970s American muscle car restored and just shiny and new and fresh. How much more my soul than a 1967 Ford Mustang? How much more you, your soul? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Man's creation, man's core, man's conclusion. Man's creation was personal, out of nothing, with design and on purpose. Deliberate by Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Deliberate. Number two, direct. Next verse, Genesis 1:27. Deliberate in 26, direct in 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." It was distinct. Go to chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Distinct. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Right? This is distinct. This is on purpose. This is a whole plan. This has genius. This has wisdom. This has design behind it. I had somebody argue with me on 2:7. He took that to mean that now God made another God, and so that we're gods. I didn't have... it was an interesting encounter. It was a while ago, too. But never mind anything else. By experience, we know that's not true. If we're being honest, that's what I was trying to get at. I mean, I thought he was joking with me, but he was serious. He was 100% serious. And it says nothing like that. But look, he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's where your life comes from. That's where your breath comes from. You don't wake up and then let me turn my breather on. Let me get my, fire up the legs. You have no control when you think about it. Every day you wake up is a miracle. The fact that you just pop out of bed, if you can, and just run, get ready and run off to work, run off to school, wherever you're going, that's a miracle. And you have no part in that. Think about that. You don't turn anything on. You don't set anything up the night before. You don't tell Alexa, "Hey, reminder, turn on my liver, turn on my heart, make sure I'm good." You don't. It's all a God thing. And design. This flies in the face. I won't even mention it. This flies in the face of what goes today, of what's been for decades. Psalm, you don't have to turn there. If you're taking notes, Psalm 139, 14, 16, I'll read it for you. Design. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." From nothing to a whole person. The whole kit and caboodle. Deliberate, direct, distinct, and designed. Man was created to demonstrate the glory of God and to fellowship with the God of glory. There's purpose here. This isn't, "I'm just created by God. Hey, cool miracle, and I'm gonna ride off into the sunset." There's purpose here. This isn't shooting in the dark. Right, I guess I'll do that. Evolution claims that creation was a blind and non-personal series of chemical and biological events that were random and accidental. Everything we just went through, and that was just some of it, was nothing of the sort. Not so when it comes to God. Not so when it comes to truth. Do not let anyone pull the wool over your eyes. These books, these movies, these documentaries that are out there. You don't have to be subject to lies. You do not. The opportunity there is to trust Christ and ride into his sunset and do his will and seek his face and change. And he'll fix you, right? And coming up, I just want to be fixed. I don't want to stay stuck like this. Only Christ is going to do those type of things. Not psychology, not the college professor, not your neighbor, not your parents. Only God is going to fix you and make you and fashion you more into the image of Christ. That's what predestination is, into the image of his son, Christ. That's what we're after. That's Christianity. That's truth. That's what I could pattern my life around. Anthropology 101, man's creation, man's core. I'm going to cut this one down a little bit. Volition. Like his creator, man has a will that he can exercise. Don't pay attention to those other teachings. Man is a free moral agent, while animals are bound by instinct and training. Right? We're not animals. We're not animals. We're not living out in the woods and survival of the fittest or any of that nonsense. No. We have a will that we can exercise. We can make choices. We can choose to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can choose to reject him. Love is not forced. That's not love. That's far, far. That's not love. Knows nothing of something that's forced and pressured. Love is sacrifice, and love is by choice. And that's how, and you see that modeled from God, and then we can model it because he modeled it first. But of course, you get saved, you trust Christ, and then the Lord desires for the believer to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, Psalm 143:10, you don't have to turn there. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. This is personal business. This isn't some fairy tale. This isn't some cult. This isn't some fly-by-night sci-fi experiment. This is personal. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. I don't own a lot of stuff, and I don't own God at all, but he's my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Right, so we talk about submission and control. This is the best thing going for us. We shouldn't have this attitude of anti-authority and I want to do it my way. He wants to control us by his spirit. He wants what's best for us. He wants to shape our lives. And we're the problem on that equation. We hold it up. We impede these things. That was Psalm 143:10. It's here in Genesis, but for sake of time, man has intellect. You know, Adam named the animals, and in Genesis 2, he exercised dominion. We saw that in chapter 1. He took care of the garden. He dressed and kept the garden, Genesis 2:15. Man is social, right? Not necessarily social media. Social with one another. Human fellowship was healthy for Adam, and he communed with God, and he brought him a wife. They started a family. You see the whole institution of family, government, as it goes down the line. All on purpose. All on purpose as you push out from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and humanity itself just develops. Again, I want to prompt you. I want to whet your appetite. Study for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go and dig it out yourself. You have the time. As busy, you're not really as busy as you think you are. I'm not as busy as I think I am. You make time for what you love. And God can help to turn your heart to love him so you can make time for him. And your life can be practically different. Man's nature and character is made in the image and likeness of God. We saw that. Being made in the image and likeness of God showcases, puts it on full display, the sanctity of human life. We're there in Genesis. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Side note, this is where you get capital punishment from. And you see the effect of getting rid and tearing down capital punishment. I'm not scared to go commit a crime. Well, I mean, I am scared of a person who commit a crime, but you get what I'm saying. That's definitely not in the agenda, but you get what I'm saying. Genesis 9, 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Right? God's got standards. God's got stipulations. He's not arbitrary. There's consequences for our actions. Man's creation, now moving into man's core. We see his will, his intellect, he's social, he's moral. If you're taking notes, Romans 2:15. Let's go to Romans 8:16. We'll move out of Genesis. Man's core, what am I made of? What's inside? The things I can't see. I have a brain, I think, but I can't see it. It's in there, though. It's in there. There's stuff inside. And God's running it. And he could shut it off if he wanted to. Romans 8:16, that's in your New Testament, through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts, Romans 8:16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I'm just going to say this. I know the phone thing. Bring your Bible to church. I know we're in a digital age. There's nothing like handling the scripture, being able to run through the pages, mark things down if that's your thing. Bring your Bible to church. It makes a practical difference. I'll leave it at that. Romans 8, 16. The Holy Spirit is where the Lord indwells the believer, where he communes with the believer, and where the believer seeks him from. This is powerful. This is great stuff. This is so good. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how I go through life, and when I'm down and when I'm second-guessing things, somebody's giving me a hard time for no reason, this is where I can throttle back to. This is where I could center in, if you want to use today's language. Romans 8, 16, that there's confirmation. I'm with you. I know you're down. I know you're hurting. I know that doesn't make sense right now, but I'm with you. Let's keep going. Don't go into your bubble. Don't go and crawl into your fetal position. Don't back up into the corner. Don't just stare there and look at the wall or the ceiling. I know. Don't get depressed. Don't get anxiety. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. I have purpose. I have plan. I have design for you. Are we getting it? Does it make sense? This isn't at random. I want to help you. I want to help myself. The Holy Spirit. We're three. Got a 25-cent word here. Tripartite. We're three. We're body, soul, and spirit. So let's break this down, starting with the spirit. As we saw, this is the spirit. The spirit is the God-conscious, innermost, immaterial part of man. You can't see this. Deep down inside you. I don't know how deep it goes. But that's the God-conscious part of man. God desires his children. This is for the believer now. God desires his children to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Hebrews 4:12, toward the end of your Bible, right past that Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. It's a good verse. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This scripture is going to dive deep. It's going to go places that you can't see. It's going to go places you don't want it to. And you say, does it though? It's not for me. What's your heart? Check your heart. Check your attitude. I mean, a one-off read a verse, or I know they got Bible apps and a verse of the day, and oh, that's cool, heart it. That's not going to do it. We need depth. We have depth in the job. We probably all have a BFF of some sort, right? We have these commitments, these dedications. Nothing wrong with these things, but how much depth and commitment do we have to the one that created us so detailed? It's an opportunity. It's not something of like, oh, get on it, do better, try harder. That's not what God's saying. That's not what I'm saying tonight. This is opportunity. Opportunity lost when we don't do these things. This is a time. This is intimacy with the one who created you. Sitting down, stepping back, slowing stuff down, shutting stuff off, saying no to certain things. I don't know where you're at, but it's easy to just busy, boom, one thing after the other, and just stuff just crams right into it. Stuff just runs right into each other. It's not productive. That's not healthy. It wears you down more and more. God wants a sweet fellowship with us, each and every one of us, as believers. This makes no sense if you hate Christ, if you're at odds with him, if you want nothing to do with Christ. You have to transfer the trust from whatever you're trusting in to Christ by faith for this to open up to you. Man's core. We see the spirit, our spirit, the soul. This is the conscience, the emotions, the reason, the will. My soul, it crosses sometimes with the heart in scripture. This is where I get angry from. This is where I love from. This is where I break things down in my mind. Either I'm a deep thinker or maybe I'm not. This is where all this is happening in the soul. It's a self-conscious, immaterial part of man. That's where you get embarrassed or you get a little hesitant or you go, oh, That's why we wear clothes. You're conscious of that. You know, nobody's going to walk around naked. I don't think any of us anyway. Self-conscious, immaterial part of man. You can't see this either. The real you as the seat of intellect and emotions. This is where you're doing business. This is where you're interfacing with people. This is where you're saying yes, you're saying no. We need to say more than we do, I think, in general. Your soul. So it's your spirit, your soul coming down. The heart and soul are used together about 27 times in Scripture, teaching us that this is where the issues of life are determined. Proverbs 4:23, I love this verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Man, why do I keep arguing with that person? Why can't I see eye to eye with that person? This is the heart. This is where the issues are coming out. This is where they're bubbling up. What do we call it? Premeditated murder. You probably make a quick jump and do something, but stuff is going to boil and stew in the heart. No? And it's just in there, and it's cooking, and it's steaming, right? You got a crock pot you didn't even have to pay for in your heart. 7-8 hours just whoo, 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 going for no reason, hating that person, hating that situation, hating that circumstance. I know. I go through the same struggles, but God doesn't want us to live here and to just circulate and go over and over in this place. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How often are you checking your heart? Or you just let it go King's Dominion roller coaster style? Proverbs 4:23. Thoughts are a function of the heart, and decisions are made in the heart. You wake up tomorrow, and we talked about that last time, choices, 30,000 choices on average. All those decisions are going to come from the heart. Check your heart. Spirit, soul, body, we're three. The body is the sense conscience, right? The world would say our five senses, cold, hot, touch, smell. The body is the sense conscience, outward material part of man. It is the house of the real man as the earthen vessel and earthly tabernacle. This is the skin. This is what's on us. This is what keeps it all together, as it were, from a physical point of view. And this is what Christ put on, not for kicks. For you, for me, he put this on. He didn't have to. He lowering himself, humbling himself, he put this on to help us, to save us. Think about that. If you're taking notes, you don't have to. 2 Peter 1:13-15, he teaches on that. Peter would know. Peter knows a lot of things because he struggled for many years. And he's like, you know what? I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. And you see the massive difference from the Gospels, from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter included, to his epistles. Huge difference on what this individual turns into because he gave up on himself. He didn't give up. He gave up on himself. Huge difference. If you're single, a young adult, anybody, we're going through Peter in Sunday school, 9 a.m. on Sundays every Sunday. Come on through, and we'll go even deeper. Anybody, come through, any adult. Upon physical death, the body returns to the dust from where it came, and the soul and spirit are separated from the body. Ecclesiastes 12:7. I think the wisest man in the world would know under Jesus. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And we saw that with David. He's the one that fashioned in the lower parts of the earth. Man's creation, man's core, man's conclusion. Yeah, that's $1 million question. Where am I going? Where am I going? What's this all about? Where am I heading? Am I heading anywhere? I mean, questions to ponder. Is it? I've met people face to face. Oh, it's just the screen's going to turn black when I die. Okay. Not what Scripture says, not what God makes clear. Man's conclusion. I know it sounds kind of morbid and not really what we're trying to think about. But that's what it is, and that's where we're heading. Two radically different places, believer, unbeliever. This is what God says. This is not what I say. Death does not mean the end. Annihilation, soul sleep, et cetera, whatever idea you want to come up with. But death is not the end. It's just separation, especially when it comes to the unbeliever. according to scripture, means separation, spiritual death. This is the spiritual at-birth separation between the sinner and God. But the believer is spiritually restored. We looked at that word quick when it came to scripture, but Ephesians 2:1 says we were quickened after being dead in trespasses and sins. So as a believer, you were dead, now you're alive. And now we can act like that. That's the miracle. That's the beauty. The miracle of salvation, but then there's the miracle of sanctification. I compare myself to Christ, not to my neighbor, not to my friend, not to a stranger, not to a celebrity. Definitely not. I compare it to Christ because he's made me alive. Not by works, not by strange ideas or strange doctrine, but by truth, by faith. Physical death, we saw that was a separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. Eternal death, this is the eternal separation, the second death of the sinner from God. If you're taking, let's turn to John 3:36, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 36. What does that say? Pastor Mick says it from time to time. Born once, die twice. That's the unbeliever's side. You'll die physically, and then you'll die forever, separated from God. That's what we've been saying. But a believer will be born twice, die once. I appreciate you, Alvin. Born twice, die once. That's why John, in this same chapter, he tells Nicodemus, what does he tell him? He doesn't. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, hey, when you get around to it, if you get a chance, at your earliest convenience, that's how we talk. He says, ye must be born again to Nicodemus. Ye must. That's what, you have to if you're going to be with me forever. Born, and that decision's here, on this side of eternity, on this side of heaven. That decision is made here. John 3:36. This says it all. You got to keep reading from John 3:16. That's an excellent verse. That's truth. That's Bible. 20 before and 20 after. Right, Mike?
Yes, sir.
That's it. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a hard pill to swallow, but it's not like you're stuck and you have to do something to figure it out. All you have to exercise faith by God's grace. There's a door out. It's not an escape room that you can't figure out. God doesn't set us up like that. It's amazing. This is crazy. This isn't true. But and all this hatred and this opposition. But hey, every soul has a choice. You can walk out that door and live forever. You don't have to die forever. Second death. All dead and living believers, don't miss this, all dead and living believers will receive eternal glorified bodies, while those who reject Christ's salvation will receive eternal corruptible bodies. Right, so you love your body so much, here it is back. God's going to help you, help the unbeliever in that way. But it's corruptible, damaged, irreparable for eternity. I don't want that. And I don't think you want that. I'm not trying to sell you anything here. But this is what it is. This mortal will become immortal. This corruptible will take on incorruptible. That's Bible. That's for the believer. The unbeliever is going a whole different way. That's on the believer. The new spiritual body of the believer will be like the body of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to hit through a few different things. Recognizable, Matthew 8:11. I like this one. Not subject to time and space, Luke 24:31. Going through doors, going through walls. I don't know what all that looks like. I can't wait to try it out. Flesh and bone, Luke 24:39-40. No blood. Ability to eat, Luke 24:41-43. Sounds good to me. Spiritual, 1 Corinthians 15:44-49. And glorious, 1 John 3:2. So one day we will be like Christ. It may not seem like that. You may be stuck in a struggle. You might have some setbacks right now. But that is the truth. And we can be more like him practically as we're here on this earth. And that's hopeful for me. That's something of a cheap sci-fi movie where they talk about being mortal and immortal and all these different things. And so many movies. You might have watched a movie like that last night. That doesn't compare. That's a joke compared to what God's saying. I can't wait to have an immortal body, an incorruptible body. Not that I can go run around and do something like a movie, but then now I can be in service to God and y'all. I mean, then you could perfectly just go right over the target. No issues, no sin, no temptation. Hope. So man's creation, let's recap. Man's creation, man's core, man's conclusion. It's personal, the creation, out of nothing, with design, on purpose, to demonstrate the glory of God and to fellowship with the God of glory. We're spirit, soul, and body. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. Learn your Bible. Learn the word of God. And the conclusion, believers will receive glorified bodies, while those who reject Christ will receive corruptible bodies. And so just a few things as we close tonight. Letting God and his word identify us shatters all viewpoints. I don't need to listen to the white noise. I don't need to listen and get tripped up and get caught up in distractions and weird things, weird, just silly things that I hear. The older you get, you just more, it just piles on. Like, who came up with this? My peers know and all that. You know what I'm talking about. Letting God and his word identify us shatters all other viewpoints, especially if we want it to. The power is there to do these things. We don't have to be subject to silly things. But we like defining things God has already defined and made clear. I remember when I got saved, I started reading the Bible. I'm thinking to myself, man, this was here the whole time? It's only been so. I was shocked. I was like, and then I'm kicking myself. You know, you meet the love of your life, like, man, where have you been all my life, type of thing. And then I'm doing that with the scripture. I'm like, man, where has this been all my life? But I wanted my sin. I wanted the silly ideas. I wanted my selfish motives. And I'm like, man, it's been here the whole time. It's amazing. Are we tuning out the world and tuning into the Lord? You think of that radio dial. No, it's not. We're in a digital world now. But that's really it from a practical sense, tuning God in. Not saying you are, and then you're not. Like, actually doing it. Go ahead and privately. You don't have, yeah, I'm in there. And you're not. Don't deceive yourself. Tune out the world and tune in the Lord. Are we allowing God to conform us into the image of his son? This takes time. Peter's an excellent example. It takes decades. It takes years. Next week, I'm not going to be prim and proper and walking on water. None of us are. This takes time. It takes time to learn different things, to learn the doctrines of the scripture, to learn what God is trying to tell us, and then make application. Head knowledge is not going to do you any good. You can go and apply it. Are we motivated by the future in order to tell others the good news in the present? That's a witnessing tool right there. Hey, this is what it's going to be. Where do you get that from? From the authority of the word of God. And that's up to them if they want to believe that or not. Given the future of the believer, are we laying up our treasures in heaven? Are you packed for the vacation? You get excited. I'm going to bring this. I'm going to bring that. But what are we packing up for heaven? What are we going to do that stands the test of time? 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. Gold, silver, precious metals, things that are going to, eternal things, souls that we witness to, right? Our testimony, serving the Lord. Giving out of a cheerful heart, being here and encouraging other believers, not just here and there, this here and there thing. No, he wants your commitment. He wants your heart committed, and he wants to help you with that. You're not going to do it on your own strength. I'll end with this. I don't have the author, but it's a quote. The full measure of the excellence of our humanity will not be seen again in life on earth until Christ returns and we have obtained all the benefits of the salvation he earned for us. I'll say it again. I don't know the author. The full measure of the excellence of our humanity will not be seen again in life on earth until Christ returns and we have obtained all the benefits of the salvation he earned for us. We don't earn anything. I just wanted to help you tonight. Man's creation, man's core, man's conclusion. We came from somewhere. We are somewhere, obviously. And we are going somewhere. And we can trust the Lord that he's going to, it's not always easy. It's not a newly paved road where we're beautifully lit and go this way and flashing lights. And it's not a new mall that we run around in, a new home, new construction, all these different things that are like, wow, we get impressed by. The road is narrow. Anybody outdoors, you get into a trail, either on a bike trail or even walking, sometimes that trail gets a little narrow. You got to let that other person go, or you go, or whatever, you work it out, you negotiate that trail. And that's just a human thing, a trail somewhere. No, that's the Christian life. Sometimes the trail gets narrow, sometimes it gets tight. Sometimes you gotta step back, you gotta dial back a little bit, reassess, reevaluate. What's going on here? So it's a narrow, it's not some free-for-all, it's not a broad road. It's definitely not. I just want to help you as we head into the summer, head into another week. I pray the Lord spoke with you tonight. I just want to help. But we can all stand. Rise to our feet. If the message spoke to you, please use the altar. Pray with a friend. Pray with your spouse. Pray by yourself. And ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to motivate you to be in his word, to be in prayer. Talk to your God. It's personal. Talk to him. He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to be bogged down by the things of today. So let's just take the next couple moments. Let's just pray to the Lord and thank him. You could go ahead and look this way. Thank you again for being here tonight. Just a few announcements upcoming next couple weeks.